Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. And we're also very happy to have back again on the program the man who we like to call our chef in residence. No, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing reticent about this guy. Doyle Moore is his name. See, that we love our running jokes. The other one is that I'd like people to know this title, this chef in residence title, this is purely honorary, ladies and gentlemen. No discounts are attached to this if you go down to the, you know, the restaurant supply place. But anyway, for a long time now, he's been here every month, once a month, on the first Wednesday, and we talk about food, and we always have a good time when he's here, picking some topic and talking about that thing and encouraging people to call in with recipes and cooking tips and whatever. If you just want to call and say hi, you can do that. Each time we do this, there's certain, I don't know if it's what's going on at that time of the year or it's that phase of the moon or where the cosmos is, but something occurs to him, and it seems often then when we look around, we see that elsewhere in the food world, you know, in the cooking magazines and on television, people are kind of talking about the same sort of stuff. So we think we're in tune with the rest of the food world on this. And this time around, he said, well, okay, here we are. It's summertime, and we have had some real hot weather, and we will again. And you need to put dinner on the table. So you're asking yourself, how can I make something that's going to be good, something that's going to be relatively easy and quick, so it's not going to take a lot of time to prepare, and also is not going to get the kitchen all heated up. So you certainly don't – now is not the time to turn on the oven. Now is the time to cook things on top of the stove, for example. So that's the thing. You know, what do you got that's quick, that is good, and that's involves lesser amounts of heat? And one of the things that we thought, well, maybe we might talk a little bit, for example, would be a stir fry. That's just perfect. Or maybe you have something else that's a sauté kind of thing that you make in a pan on top of the stove. And even better if it's kind of all a one-pan deal. You know, that's sort of the thing. It's pretty wide open here this morning. So recipes are certainly welcome. All you have to do is call 333-9455. That's the number for Champaign-Urbana. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you pick up the telephone and give us a call. Well, welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
So this
is July.
It's July. I can't quite believe that.
Me neither.
July. I don't know. I'm not sure where June went or May for that matter. But yes, it's July, and we have had some – right now, this is good with me. This weather is good with me.
Yes.
But we have had some –
Well, by the way, it's
really
raining
hot,
outside.
I don't care. That's fine. As long as it's cooler. We've had some real hot temperatures, and I guess next week's going to get really warm again. So it'll be seasonable. And that must be what you were thinking. Well, you know, you got to adjust your cooking for the for conditions.
That's right.
And was stir frying particularly something you were thinking
about? Well, only because we have as American cooks, we have adapted to doing stir fry. I laugh at myself because I do 90% of my cooking is in a wok. I like a wok. I like what it does. I like scooping and messing things around. And mm-hmm. So I cook many things, even the complex things that take a little while. I cook them in a wok, and I enjoy that very much. And the pan is very easy to clean, and it's done. Hang it up, and, you know, you're on your way. So I find that there are a lot of foods that like to be cooked in a wok, and that's again, one dish. Well, Even that attitude, because the wok comes from a military helmet that the soldiers turned upside down and cooked their meals in. Again, quick, done, instant, and no great length of time, no long stewings and long thises and thats. And so just the ambiance of cooking quickly. I invented a meal some time ago, which was what I was really thinking about in this. I used to have a game that I would play since I was teaching, and here it'd be 5 o'clock, and I'd walk down the aisle of the school, and if I saw somebody that I knew was probably free for supper, it was a matter of, hey, do you want supper? Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll see you. You know, I'm going home. See you when I get there. And I would have enough time to stop at the grocery store, and I would get chicken breasts and peppers and a pear or an apple. And I would run home and prepare the peppers by just slicing green peppers by just slicing them long and narrow. And then the chicken breasts were done paillard, beat out flat, so that they're very, very thin. Mm-hmm. All right. It takes 8 minutes to cook the peppers. So you put the peppers on and do 4 minutes on the peppers, and it's going to take another 4 minutes for them. And it only takes 4 minutes for the chicken. The chicken is cooked in butter in a large skillet, and that's 2 minutes on each side. And then pour lemon juice over that. And they're done in 4 minutes. If you've done the 8 minutes of the peppers and half of them are done, they're both done at the same time, and you've got whatever breads you're having. Well, dinner's ready in less than 10 minutes, and that included the time of buying everything on the way home and having it done. And then meanwhile, you have taken the pear and the apple, peeled it, put it in some water and some wine and some spices, and it's cooking while you're eating supper. And when you're done, you've got a nice poached pear or apple to eat at for a dessert, and it's all over. You know, even the eating of it was done quickly. And I always thought that was sort of fun to do because it was a matter of, what, you know, like they're there, what happened? You know, here's a whole meal done in just instant moments and no fussing.
Yeah, great.
So that was kind of the thought in my mind, and then realizing that a lot of other people are also wanting to cook in that manner. It isn't so much. And then I remember another one that many years ago, nice people here in town who were selling microwaves, and I didn't know whether I wanted a microwave or not. I said, "What's the value of a microwave? Why do I? Oh," he says. You can make a meal in 30 minutes. I said, I can already make a meal in 30 minutes, you know. And so microwave means nothing. But there are some things that indeed a microwave does speed up and is cool in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so I after I've searched all that out again, I do use a microwave.
Right. We've got a couple callers here.
Well,
talk
good.
To them. We'll start with Urbana, line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
One of my favorite summertime meals is cornbread salad.
Oh, my.
Which is really a one-dish meal. You do have to bake cornbread, or
yeah.
I guess you can probably buy cornbread already made. But other than that, it's all cold. You take a half a package of dry ranch dressing mix.
Dry?
Yeah, they just in a little packet, the uh-huh. one-ounce packet of ranch dressing mix, a half a cup of sour cream, I use low fat, half a cup of mayonnaise, low fat, 2 medium tomatoes chopped,
tomatoes,
a quarter of a cup of chopped green pepper, a quarter of a cup of chopped green onions,
green pepper, I'm getting this down,
okay,
green pepper and onion,
and green onions. Then 1 can of pinto beans, rinsed and drained.
Pinto beans, yes.
Mm-hmm. 1 cup of grated cheddar cheese.
Cheddar.
And a cup of corn. You can, you know, if you have some on hand, that's best if it's fresh. But you can also use the frozen corn. And then half of an 8-inch pan of cornbread made with 1 4-ounce can of chopped green chilies.
Oh, and chopped green chilies. Wow.
Yeah, in the cornbread. So you obviously have to make the cornbread first, but then you combine the first 3 ingredients and set them aside.
Mm-hmm.
Then you combine the next 3 ingredients and set them aside.
That's the tomatoes, peppers, and onions.
And onions. And then in a large glass serving bowl, you crumble half of the cornbread.
Yes.
Then you top with half of each of the remaining ingredients in this order. Beans, the tomato mixture, cheese, corn, and salad dressing mix.
Wow.
And then you repeat those layers again.
Oh.
And then if you want to make it fancy, you can garnish the top with chopped tomatoes or some Kalamata olives chopped or whatever.
Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? The black olives, yeah.
Yeah. And then you just cover it, and it needs to chill for about 2 to 3 hours.
Well, it's kind of a layered salad,
isn't
it?
It's a layered salad.
But with cornbread.
With cornbread. It really is good.
That sounds pretty alluring. I like the idea of using the cornbread very much. That's good. Well, thank you.
Okay.
No, wow. Very good. I appreciate it.
Cornbread salad.
All right. That's, I guess they're... You would have to. I don't know. Can you actually go out and buy ready-made cornbread?
It seems that you can. I've never done that, but I keep. I often run on it in on the food channel. Yeah. They just do. Well, here's a ready-made cornbread.
So otherwise, it's possible you might have to turn on the oven to make your cornbread. But you pick a cool day and make cornbread.
Make the cornbread and save it, and you're going. Well, you know that. That, again, is another thing, because you make it, you have it, and this is left over, because as she points out, it's only a half a pan. So you wouldn't need a whole – so you've already eaten a half of the pan the day before, and this is cold cornbread.
Well, that's – and often when we – I guess this would be during the fall and winter, we make cornbread, and somehow we don't manage to eat it all, and we're always wondering, okay, what – we have some leftover. What do we do with the
cornbread
leftover?
Cornbread salad.
All right. Let's talk with somebody else here in Champaign, line number two. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, judicious use of your toaster oven is great.
Yes.
You can stick it out on your patio if it's not raining. That's what I do.
Good thought. I like
that.
Yeah, bake your cornbread outside. Anyway, I was calling about something just very simple. I love to make corn on the cob, but I never boil it anymore. I just get the cob, I tear the brown tassels off, I take off the tough outer husk, and I throw it in the microwave. Maybe 2 minutes per cob, and you strip everything off under cool running water, and ta-da, it's done.
Microwave, 2 minutes?
Like maybe 2 minutes per ear.
Uh-huh.
And it's very fast, and you don't heat anything up.
That's
except
true.
Your fingertips.
And you don't have to, you don't do anything to add any moisture or anything.
No, the husk provides and the silks are still in there and it turns out just great.
Well, I like that because again, that's using it, as I started talking about the little microwave. That's one of the ways of using. I learned from my parents, they would go out and pick asparagus. Wash the asparagus off, 4 minutes in the microwave, and it's done.
Yeah, I use my microwave all the time.
That's very good. Very good. Yes, corn on the cob. I like that anyway.
Right. Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe this is just my experience. I have this sneaking suspicion that probably most people, they use their microwaves to make popcorn. I use it to thaw things.
To thaw, yes.
Occasionally to reheat something, to rewarm something.
Yes.
That's about it. I don't know that I have ever actually cooked something in the microwave.
I think my most involved cooking with a microwave was doing a Mexican style of a fruit and chicken stew that I cooked for 30 minutes in the microwave. I mean, that's pretty complex. It was in a large container, but it was very, very good. And it's a particular thing that's done, and it's meant to be steamed and done sort of underground, sort of like a luau pig, and it's wrapped in banana leaves and all that. But you can make it in something that's covered. And I did that it was really quite extraordinary. Big thick slices of onions, big thick slices of apple, and big thick slices of pears, and then orange juice, and then some other things, and then the chicken, and it all worked together. It's really quite good. But that's the most complex thing that I've never made in the microwave.
Well, I seem to recall that at one point when there was I don't know how long ago this was, there were actually cookbooks that were all about everything you could possibly think of to do in the microwave, and this is how you do it. And in our house, the one we have, we got as a wedding present, so now it's almost 21 years old.
Mercy.
And I actually kind of resent it because it's the biggest microwave I ever saw. We have almost no counter space. It's taking up about 30% of the counter space in our kitchen. It's a monster. And pretty much we use it now to pop microwave popcorn. That's about it. We often thought of just relegating it to the basement, but then I think, well, you got to run down to the basement when you're actually going to thaw it and make your popcorn. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Let's talk to somebody else. I'll stop. Muhammad, line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I, too, am concerned with conserving energy. So I ordered one of those induction cookers, and I got it this week. So I don't have much experience with it, but I think I'm going to love it.
Yes. How does that work?
Well, I have to buy some different pans so that I'll have the sizes I want. But right now I'm using it with an iron skillet, a cast iron skillet. It has to have a pan that a magnet will stick to the bottom of.
Oh.
It's magnetic. There's an electromagnet in it that heats up the pan, but this cooker doesn't stay hot for more than a few seconds after you take the hot pan off of it.
Wow.
And it, noticeably, it does not heat the kitchen up. And my stove is one of those with a top that's glass, you know?
Oh, yes.
A glass top stove. So I'm not happy with it because it takes forever to boil water. And this new induction cooker boils water faster than anything I've ever seen. I love it.
Well,
I mean, you know, if I didn't do anything but just boil things on it,
yes,
it would be worth buying it.
Well, I haven't experienced that yet.
You have to get some new pans. The manufacturer of this cooker also makes an expensive line of pans, and I ordered some, but they haven't gotten here yet. But I think I'm really going to like this thing. It's so clean and nice on top. It has a glass top, and it has the advantage that they say if you spill grease on it, it will not flame up because grease is not magnetic.
Yes.
And the only thing that is heated by this cook thing is something magnetic, ferrous material.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, that's something for me to look forward to, and for you to. Well, I'll be listening for more of your comments later.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to love it.
Oh, good!
Thanks for your show. I really enjoy it.
It is fun, isn't it?
All right. Well, thanks very much for the call. Our guest this morning is the guy we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and for a long time, he's been stopping by on the first Wednesday of the month. We talk about cooking. And we've talked about a lot of different things, different dishes, different techniques, favorite ways to do, you know, something that there are different ways to do it. And generally, depending on the time of the year, that helps to kind of dictate what it is we're talking about. And this time around, he said, well, because it is summertime and it's hot, you want to get your food on the table, if you can, quickly, and you want it to be good, and you don't want to heat up the kitchen. So what do you do? And I think he said, well, one of the things that he might think about doing would be stir fry. But it needn't be a stir fry recipe. Maybe it will be something cooked on top of the stove. So what's your favorite thing for a summertime dish that's good, that's quick, that will not get the kitchen all heated up and you in the process?
And you in the process,
yeah. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We'll talk with someone next in Downs. On our line 4. Hello.
Hello. My absolute favorite thing when I am just too hot to cook and too hot to eat and, you know.
Exactly.
You know the feeling.
Yes.
Is to just toss a package of cheese tortellini with fresh tomatoes and basil and Parmesan cheese.
Huh.
Cook the tortellini.
Yes.
Put the tomatoes in a big bowl with whatever seasonings you want. I like the tomatoes and the basil. I also like to put a little chipotle and adobo sauce.
Oh, Korean. Yes.
You could use some hot pepper flakes. And then you just dump your, arugula is really good, too. You just dump your tortellini in when it's hot, and you get this kind of half-hot, you know, slightly not really cooked tomatoes, and it's a salad pasta good thing.
That sounds pretty direct and pretty fast. I like that.
Very easy.
Well, that's really very good. I kind of perk up with adding the chipotle. I like that. that's a good.
I like that flavor.
Isn't it wonderful that they finally got that? We can use it.
Yeah.
They're very hot, but You can, and you never use all of them in the can at once, you know. So you find ways of putting them away. You can wrap them up and freeze them for a while. Then you have all those left over. Yeah, chipotle.
What I do is when I open a new can, I dump the whole thing in a blender or food processor.
Oh, yeah.
And I just puree it up and put it into a glass jar and put it in the refrigerator. I've never had any problem with it. And if it's that way, I find myself dipping it.
Yes, because you can just a couple of spoonsful and you're done.
And you don't have to worry about the slimy pepper.
Oh, that's really a good idea. Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do that now. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. I actually, the other day, went down to the root cellar and brought up this can that I thought was a can of chipotles in adobo. And I opened it up, and I realized what it was. It was, I don't know what they said. It was chipotle salsa or something like that. But I kind of think what it was is what this caller just said.
Yes.
That what they did was it's adobo sauce, and the chipotles are in there, but they just pureed it up. And so it's like, so then I did the same thing. I thought, well, okay, this should keep. I put it in a jar, put it in the fridge, and thinking, well, it's high acid. It ought to be good for at least a couple of weeks, probably, if it's covered in there. So now I think this is her idea, though, was a really good one, because I've done what you said before. I've taken them and taken a couple of them and wrapped them up and put them in the freezer.
Yes.
But, you know, they kind of get freezer burn, and I think after a while maybe you think they've been in there too long.
You forget about them.
And then, yes, I was looking for some the other day, and I didn't know whether they had gotten thrown away.
Yep.
Were they in the back of the freezer somewhere?
Yep.
So this is a good idea.
Folks, we listen to our own program.
It's sometimes painful, but we listen to our own program. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. We're talking about cooking this morning. It's the first Wednesday of the month. The guy here is the guy we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. If you have a good recipe to share with us, particularly, as I said, you know, something that's good for summer, because it involves relatively low heat, or maybe like with the stir fry, it's high heat, but for a short period of time, and get something good on the table pretty quick. Let's talk next with someone in Champaign. Hello.
Hello.
On line one. Yes,
oh,
go ahead.
Hi.
Yes.
As your antipathy to microwave ovens, supposedly Julia Child said the only use for that would be on a rainy day, she would use it to dry out her newspaper. But no, there are far more uses for it. I've gotten into a thing here of grilling fish, and it started with an on-sale little fish basket that kind of looked like a lacrosse racket.
Oh, yes.
And then I sometimes just use this a frying pan that has a series of holes in the bottom, and it really takes very little time to set up one of those little chimneys and get the charcoal properly hot and drop it in there. And then you just put the fish on there and put the cover on a Weber, say, and it can't be more than 5 minutes or 6 minutes. And with something like a rainbow trout fillets or I've done swordfish, or if it's a light fish, a very soft thing like tilapia, you can use aluminum foil and puncture some holes in that.
Oh, yes.
But there is a flavor to it. It's just beautiful, and it's outdoors, and it's just it's quick. And then sometimes I'll also just put onions and zucchini and summer squash and eggplant that have been coated in a little olive oil. I'll grill that, too.
And separately?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's so quick, and absolutely delicious.
You might try putting some of those vegetables inside your wrapped up.
Oh yeah,
wrapped up, and you got another kind of a dish all at once.
Yes.
I learned that from my brother a long time ago. It took a little bit longer to cook. Well, we cooked those in the oven, but I was kind of thinking about things that you can grill quickly.
Yeah.
And because it takes a while to set up the grill and everything. And then it's out. Of course, then it's outside and you're having fun anyway.
Yeah, well, I definitely recommend grilled fish. I'm having it several times a week now.
Oh, that's very good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
All right, very good. I think it's a great suggestion. I guess I was thinking that grilling was a separate
Another program.
Another program. We could do that entirely as a program. But,
yes.
Of course, that's one of the great things about the grilling is that it takes the heat outside so that you don't have it in the kitchen. And
as one of my friends once said a long time ago, you know, they're going to paint this white and put it in the kitchen one of these days.
333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. You have a good recipe to share with us. Why don't you give us a call? Was there something else in particular?
No.
For example, had your earlier thing about how you could just run by the store, grab something, and by the time the person you had invited for dinner
right.
was there, you were with it. There was no particular
that it's just that fit the idea of what I was talking about was down and done and no great time spent fussing and worrying about it, and it came out to be a complete meal. Char the peppers a little bit. Let them get just the slightest burned. So you're watching two things, but it's only two. Oh, and at the last minute, cover the fish with lemon juice. And then, of course, the lemon juice. Remember when you used to write secret messages in lemon juice and then heat it up and they would brown? Well, the same thing. Same thing happens when you put lemon juice on the chicken. It all of a sudden gets a brown crust on it.
All right.
And besides that, it tastes good.
All right.
No, that's the only one that I have really, really gone to, and I like doing it a lot.
We have someone else here on a cell phone. Line one. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
I heard the lady talk about the tortellini with the tomatoes.
Yes.
And one of my favorite recipes is pick whatever pasta you want and cut up a tomato or two, nice and ripe, and cut up a cucumber in chunks, and throw that in with like red onions and some oil and vinegar, possibly balsamic with a little garlic, and it's really fabulous over pasta, especially topped with Parmesan.
Now that's what I'm trying to say is you're doing something that I find very interesting of using hot foods and cold foods together at
yes,
the same
it sounds,
time.
It sounds really awful, but it's really
tasty. It does sound peculiar, and it sounds unfamiliar, except it always works.
The cucumber is spectacular.
I think where this idea or at least where this information came, some time ago, I forget how long ago it's been, I was in France, and we went to a little restaurant and ordered a salad of some make, and out came warm duck liver that had been sautéed and put on the top of the greens, and that freaked me out. It's the first time I'd had a hot meat something on greens, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And so this idea of, I mean, we're not talking about don't heat up. You know, don't cook something, and then to use it in such a fresh manner, I think, is one of the achievements that we've added in the last few years. I like that very much.
And don't forget to add parsley. That always.
Oh, and parsley. Oh, lots of parsley.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. I'll write that down at the bottom.
Oh, thanks. There again, we're a little bit past our midpoint here.
Oh, dear.
It's our first Wednesday of the month. We're talking about cooking. We've been doing that for a long time with this guy we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. We picked some theme to build the show around, and this time around he said, well, okay, it's hot. It's summertime. How do you get something on the table quick without heating up the kitchen too terribly much. You have a good recipe. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. It kind of reminds me of what we've now been doing in our house, a favorite recipe in the summertime. We've been doing it now for a couple of years at least. The hitch is that you can only, it's pasta, and you can really only make it when you can go to the farmer's market and get really good tomatoes.
Oh, yes.
That's the thing. You've got to have a variety of tomatoes, hopefully with sort of different, somewhat different flavors, and it's nice to have a mix of colors. And it's a relatively simple dish. You start by, you need fresh basil and garlic,
mm-hmm.
and you put that into maybe about a quarter cup of olive oil, good oil, and you just let that sit.
You mean E-V-O-O?
E-V-O-O. Yes, ma'am. So you get your garlic and your fresh basil, you put it in your E-V-O-O, and you just let that sit for a few hours. Put it in a, you know, I use a big stainless bowl, just put it there and let it sit for a few hours if you can.
Oh, yes.
So the oil becomes infused with the flavor of the garlic and the basil. Then, after that's been sitting there for a while, then you get your tomatoes and you just cut them up into, you know, bite-sized chunks. And you put that into the oil. And then you just let that sit, if you can, for a couple hours. And so then the tomatoes absorb that flavor. They all get – everything gets very excited. Some of the moisture comes out of the tomatoes. So, in fact, you end up making kind of an oil-based
mm-hmm,
sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then we serve this with rigatoni, which is a tube, one of the bigger tube
oh, yes.
kind of pastas. So you just cook your pasta, and when it is still hot, when it's done, you just toss that into the bowl.
Oh.
And then you toss in some chunks of fresh mozzarella.
Oh, yes.
And stir that, just stir it up. And the warm pasta will melt the mozzarella a little bit.
A little bit, yes.
And everything just gets all stirred up there, and you put it on a plate. And let me tell you, my friend, that's really, really good. And it's very easy to prep. I mean, you do have to heat the water for the pasta, but it's a very simple. You just have to have good tomatoes, and you have to you do it, and then you got to let it sit for a little bit, and then you put your tomatoes in. You got to let it sit for a little bit more. So you got to kind of plan ahead on the deal,
but it isn't difficult.
But it's not difficult, no. And it's really, really good.
Well, that sounds really good. Again, that last moment adding of warm stuff to cold stuff. And it's not really cooking, you know.
Yeah.
It's assembling, yeah. Putting things together. I like it. That's
and so
exactly
you get something
it.
And then it's kind of like when you serve it, it's sort of like room temperature. I mean, it's not cold, but it's not hot either. It's somewhere in between there.
I
really
can see
thing.
You going out and jumping into the swimming pool in between those waiting times.
You could.
And then you jump, run back in, chop up the tomatoes, and go back out to the swimming pool.
You could. I mean, that's the great thing that you do that little, you do that first little step, and
yes.
then you can go and do whatever.
Yes.
You come back later and you do your other little step, and then you can go do
and
whatever.
And then actually that, yeah, it's all prepared, and you've set that up during what hour of a period, and then boil the water, and it's done.
And, you know, maybe you'd like to have you can get yourself a nice baguette with that. You got dinner, and it's just fabulous. It's just fabulous. But it's a high summer dish. You can't, unless you have some way to get good tomatoes, the rest of the, so it's one of those things that we look forward to being able
to
have.
Well, exactly, sure.
And then we eat it and eat it and eat it when we can get tomatoes, and then it's done.
Yep.
And we don't have it again until the next year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good.
I think I'll have whole wheat pita, though, instead of a baguette.
You may. You may. In fact, you could probably even, a good, if you really wanted to, you could make your own, I suppose, or use a good whole wheat. We have now these good whole wheat pastas that don't taste like whole wheat pastas used to.
Cardboard?
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, a really good product. So you can even, do that if you want.
Yep.
It's very good. Oh, let's talk with somebody on a cell phone here. Line one. Hello.
Yes, good morning. I was reminded when you were talking about putting mozzarella in the pasta
mm-hmm.
that we on occasion have learned to throw some cream cheese into the warm pasta, and that melts completely, and it gives a much different flavor and texture to the tomatoes, and we generally
that does
some basil, I like the prior caller's suggestion, too, though, of raw red onion and cucumber. I think that'd be a great combination. Again, basil and the fresh tomato.
I've been musing over the thrill of, yes, you know, quickly sautéed cucumber is another totally different experience. You don't expect it to be as, you know, you don't cook cucumbers. Yes, you do.
Really?
You sure can. That's really good.
Do you slice them thin or?
Chunk them. Chunk them, yeah. Chunk up
the
cucumber.
And what do you sauté them in?
Well, just like stir fry. I mean, it's just quick. You could include
really?
That. Yeah, a cucumber. I think that's very Chinese. That's where I first ran into it and was very surprised. But cucumbers cooked are a very strange dish, and they would add an awful lot of curiosity to the dish.
Well, we'll try that. Thank
yes,
you very
indeed.
Much for your suggestion. I enjoy the program, too.
Little chunks of cucumber.
All right. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't right off think about cucumber is a cold.
Or it's cold.
It's a cold thing.
You want them cold and crisp and crunchy when you're doing that. But I have deliberately cooked cucumbers several times. I believe I might like to probably put dill in with them. I'm trying to think of exactly what I did. But that's another separate dish. I like the idea maybe of using it with these combinations of the onions and tomato. And all you're doing is really just warming it up.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't a matter of long cooking times or sautéing until they're crisp, fried, or whatever you want to call it. But
okay. Let's talk with somebody else. Again, on a cell phone. This is line number 2. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
I have a recipe for a California roll salad that's new.
Yes.
And it's fun. I buy sticky rice from the Chinese restaurant.
Yes.
It takes a cup of rice and a tablespoon of seasoned rice vinegar to season the rice.
And rice vinegar, yes.
And a thinly sliced cucumber, a thinly sliced avocado, and some crab meat.
And an avocado, yes.
Which, of course, is a California roll.
Right.
And then you have a dressing that's 3 tablespoons of soy sauce and another tablespoon of rice vinegar, and you toss that and set it and serve it on lettuce, and serve it cool, and it's wonderful.
So we've got rice and cucumber and avocado and crab,
mm-hmm.
and then the sauce of soy sauce and vinegar and what else?
Soy sauce and vinegar. That's
it. That was it, wasn't it? Yes. Oh,
serve it on lettuce. Mm-hmm.
It's so really that's like a California roll without the wrapper.
Without the
kind of the Illinois way to do a California roll.
Yeah. Y'all are here in the flatlands.
Mm-hmm. It is a little flatter. That's
a little flatter. Well, that's
delicious.
That's very good, and also that's very quick. I mean, it's a matter of you got everything right there. Just put it together.
And
assemble
it.
Yep.
Good. Thank you.
An un-California non-roll.
Un-California non-roll. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. Again, questions welcome, sure. But recipes, too, 333-9455 and toll-free, 800-222-9455. I wanted to ask you about your walk. I've
had
troubled relationships with my walks. And I think probably the problem that I always had was that I don't use it enough. And in between times, it kind of gets sort of rancid. That's why I actually went to a non-stick walk, which I know some people say, that's not what you want.
Well, there used to be a brush called a goshi brush that is really a very stiff brush,
mm-hmm.
and if you use that kind of thing, or then there's a traditional thing that's sort of, it's not really bamboo strips, but it's very coarse and sort of a bunch of them all put together and wound around, and
right.
you're scrubbing with it. That is the thing that you want to learn to do. It's not a matter of just washing it out with available, and it actually will stay. It will not carbonize on the inside if you do that every time, and especially right after you finish cooking while it's hot, then it'll all come off easier. And I've gone through exactly the same anguish that you have, and the whole inside turns black and carbonized and such, and I was never particularly happy with it. But of recent and right now, I happen to know that the bottom of my wok is not shiny, but it's clean and not carbonized. And it's a matter of doing that right away in that French manner of, as soon as you cook, clean it up. But use this scrubber, and the scrubber is fierce enough that it will take it off. Huh. I would even think that probably if you were cooking out of doors and such things, this is the kind of thing you'd use sand in, which is an old way that the pioneers cleaned their pots, was with sand.
Well, I know that I have I maybe seen it done or recommend to use salt, a real coarse grain of salt to do the same thing, use that as your scrub, and then it also picks up impurities and things.
And oils and things like that.
And you just throw it away.
Well, when you do that, you don't need to even use soap and water.
Yeah.
And it's the non-soap, and it's the not using soap. I never use soap in the wok anyway, because it. I don't know who invented all these things, but they always puzzle me when I find out the real truth. Metal, especially iron, when you heat it up, opens up and becomes filled with oil. You're saying, what?
Yeah.
This is a piece of metal. What do you mean?
It's like it has pores.
It has pores. The pores open up and the grease goes in, and that's what – and then when you dissolve all that with soap, then it's gone and you have a mess in cooking.
Yeah.
I just find that awesome every time I think of that.
Well, and I have this really disreputable now looking cast iron skillet that I used to make cornbread in.
Oh yes,
that I never wash.
No, and you don't wash.
Don't wash it.
That's
and I got no problem with that. But the wok somehow, it doesn't. So I have a nonstick wok, and actually I kind of like it because I think I use much less oil.
Yes, you would.
In cooking, which I think is probably
just mentally.
Yeah.
Because you say I don't need it. It's nonstick anyway. You know.
Well, okay. Here we have. Oh, we have someone here from Downs. I'm sure she knows all about woks, don't you?
My wok is black and very disreputable looking.
Oh, okay. Well,
I treat it exactly like a cast iron skillet.
Yes.
I wash it out with water, hot water, scrub off anything that's stuck, which usually doesn't happen, and then I dry it on the over fire.
Over the fire, yes.
But using it often really is the best thing. I have taught lots of stir-fry classes, and I had somebody who was in my class. Oh, I ran into her in the grocery store. She said, I've taken your class twice. And she said, when I get my wok up from the basement, I don't know what to do with it. And I said, well.
First, don't put it in the basement.
Don't put it in the basement. Exactly. But, you know, for people who have beautiful, pristine kitchens, they don't like the wok, and it takes a lot of space if you're going to hide it. And I hang mine like you do.
I hang it up. Yep.
Yeah. But it is very black and very disreputable looking, and I love it. But what I'm really calling about is I didn't go on about tomatoes, but that recipe with the cheese tortellini, those have to be good tomatoes.
Yes.
That's the flavor. I mean, they have to be summertime farmer's market or your garden or your friend's garden tomatoes. And, you know, and then just like David's recipe, it's something we only eat in the summer. Because, you know, the flavor just is not there. But the thing that really made me call was somebody saying cream cheese in pasta. The other thing that I put in is soft goat cheese.
Oh yes, I
let that melt.
I have been using more soft goat cheese of recent. That's a new taste treat to me.
And the other thing that I will do in the summertime is parboil green beans.
Yes.
And just toss those with the hot pasta and goat cheese and Parmesan cheese.
Ooh.
And salt and pepper.
Ooh, that's
you can add a little shallot if you want to.
You could saute up some onions, but that involves, you know, more cooking. So I just do it with the green beans.
With haricot vert.
Yep.
And keep them long. Don't chop
right.
them up. Oh, that I'm sitting here visualizing it. I'm drooling visualizing that dish. Oh yes,
it is beautiful.
Just take the tails off and they're done. Oh my!
And then obviously you can think of other things to add if you want to. But and again, that's dependent on the flavor of the green beans.
Yes, indeed.
And so that's a summertime dish too.
And it's quickly done, and then you wash out your wok, and you're ready to go to another
dish. Oh, I don't do that in the wok.
Oh, you don't.
What I do is I parboil the, I heat the water, parboil the beans in the pasta water.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Then I cook the pasta and toss it with the, you know, the beans and the hot, I mean, and the goat cheese.
Oh, I see. Somehow I had that being
done in the wok.
Cooked in the wok. I think it'd work anyway, but
probably would. That's I just don't use
another
the wok
thought
for other things. I did something one time where I put in olive oil, and I thought, no, this is just wrong. But and it does flavor the wok. I mean, as you're talking about, you know, if you use a different kind of
it
oil,
it soaks up. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all.
Okay. That's very
well,
good.
Thank you very
enjoy
much.
Enjoy the summer produce.
We're waiting. I don't know whether we're quite at that point yet, but so many of these things really, I think, depend on your quality of, it depends on your quality of your ingredients, you know. What can you get? And then if you can get good stuff, then the ingredients sort of speak for themselves and the preparation can be kind of minimal. You don't need to add, if you have really good tomatoes.
Yeah.
You don't need to add all that much to them.
I like this talk about waiting until those tomatoes are available. And we kind of have a conflict. I remember as a child these seasonal things, like, I'm sorry, we can't have that because it's not available. And that wilted lettuce, it always comes back to my mind, wilted lettuce. Mother would go, we would plant a garden with three or four rows of lettuce. And I remember being totally shocked later in my life when people would go out with a knife and whack off the whole, oh no, we picked each leaf separately so that some more would kind of grow along in a little while. But we only got two meals of that. And so your life is made up of two times in the year you can eat wilted lettuce the way it was intended to be done. And then that's the rest of it. You know, that's it. No more. And you never had any other substitutes anyway. It was over. And I always kind of like that seasonal, oh boy, we're going to be able to do this, and then it's done, and then you wait for the next thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then the same thing with corn. You only ate corn during the few days that it was available. Now we get the corn from Chile on the 1st of January, and there's fresh corn and corn on the cob all year long. Well, that's okay. And of course, then I grumble because I dearly love strawberries and I get strawberries every month of the year. And then I grumble when they aren't any good. So and now it's almost, in fact, strawberry season's almost over. It was June. So that was yesterday.
And I think that's right. We look forward to having corn on the cob when we can get it at the farmer's market.
Yes.
So we have it during that time, and we have it and have it and have it, and then we don't.
And we don't.
So, we don't eat it in January. And it's just because I think, having had good local product, relatively freshly picked, being able to do that, it's so good that the stuff that you can – yes, you can go in January, I guess, and buy an ear of corn in the supermarket, but – I'd say, what's the point of that?
It doesn't taste right.
No, it doesn't taste right.
And as long as we're talking about that very thing, I have another prejudice. I will not make pesto, and save it for the periods of time when you don't have fresh basil. When that basil plant dies, that's the end of pesto. And because I want to be able to go out and pick it, mm-hmm. and I push basil clear up into the time when it almost freezes, and that's the end of it. And you know, a lot of people they go out and gather it all and make big piles of it and freeze it. I can't think of anything worse than being in the cold weather and having a basil pesto. It just doesn't those tastes don't. The cold, clammy skin of winter and all just doesn't want basil pesto in the middle of it. I want that for the summer.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're just about the point we finish up here. I do want to mention, by the way, that we have gotten the recipes moved over to our newer website. So if you're looking for the recipes, go to will.illinois.edu, and you can find them there. We're sort of behind. I think the most recent recipes there are from January, but I also was just looking at it, and I did see that we actually now have recipes on there going back to, I think, 1999 or something like this. So you can go back through and
we've been here that long?
You know how long we've been here. We've been here a very long time.
There are people listening to this program that weren't even born when we started.
Well, I don't know if they're listening, but it's theoretically possible. Sometime I'm afraid they're going to say, look, you guys, you're just dinosaurs. We're going to do something else. But not quite yet. The man here is the guy we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He's here the first Wednesday of every month and 10 o'clock hour. We talk about cooking. We always have a good time. And next time it's going to be August.
Well...
And will we see you in August?
Yes, I'll be here.
All right, very good. Well, thanks very much.
You bet.
I appreciate it.